بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سوري في كتاب سفر الحبيب إلى بيت رب الحبيب. The journey and the suffer of the beloved of Allah تبارك وتعالى to the house of the Rabb of the beloved. It is كعبة الله. So this story began, today is the 26th. So Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام set out on the 25th of Zul Qa'dah, spent the night in Zul Hulayfa. Zul Hulayfa, as you mentioned, that place is called Wadi Aqiq. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended and said, this is a blessed valley. You should put up camp over here and tie ihram from here. That is where also the son of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was born, to Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha. His name was Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. So he was born there and she still proceeded for Hajj from there. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made intention of Qiran Hajj. So on the 26th, now it's 26 Zul Qa'dah. That was a Sunday, 26 Zul Qa'dah. 10th year of Hijrah. After Salatul Zuhur, the two rakats Qasr, then Salatul Ihram, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made intention for Hajj, and he made labbaik for Hajj and Umrah. La sum'ah, la riya'an fi wa la sum'ah. No show in it, whether it be physical show, and no should anybody hear about it, about good things we had done. So complete humility. Made labbaik over there, then he ascended and he got onto his conveyance, made labbaik again. Then he ascended onto the mount of Baida, the hillock. There he made labbaik. Sahaba ikram heard it, different places. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended, tell Sahaba ikram to raise their voices. Al-hajju, al-ajju wa thajju. What is hajj? Al-ajju. Al-ajju means raf'u al-sawt bi talbiya, to raise a voice in talbiya. Wa thajju isalatu al-dam, to make the blood flow, qurbani animals. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also took his camels with him. And he garlanded them. He put garlands on them. As you mentioned, he put a rope there. Either they tie a broken handle of a jug, a water jug, what you use now for istinja, or even a broken champal. And ish'ar. Ish'ar means that he pierced the hump and he spread the blood, smeared the blood on the hump to show this is a hadi animal. We call it hadiyun. Alright? And in this way now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and en route also to Makkah Mukarramah, cupping of the foot, then cupping of the head because of the headache. And different places he stopped, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stopped, all Azwaj Mutahharat were there also, all of them accompanied Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So yesterday we mentioned that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam stopped at a place called Dhutuwa and Wadi Azraq. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam encamped at Dhutuwa, a destination also mentioned in the records of Bukhari Sharif. This was on a Sunday. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam set out on a Sunday. This was the next Sunday. So he left on the 26th. So it's the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th. So that year, Zulqa'dah was 29 days. Then 1st, 2nd, 3rd and 4th. So we got this in the 8th day, so to say, 1 week passed. It was the 4th of Zulhijjah, on a Sunday. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the early morning Fajr Salah there, and took a ghusl and made his way to Makkah Mukarramah through Wadi Azraq. From Dhutuwa, he went through Wadi Azraq, Sahih Muslim. While reflecting, he likened the scene, while reflecting at this place, he likened the scene to Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ascending Mount Sina, where he got Nubuwat, when he was coming from Madian. There he got married, some riwayah, to the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. Some say he was Safura, and she was expecting that time, and came back to Egypt from Turi Sina. And then in the distance he saw some fire. He seemed to be fire. فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي آنَسُ نَارًا. So he told his family that wait here a little while, I'm just going to get some fire, something warm, to warm us up. When he went there, it was the tajalli of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and then Allah ta'ala told him, إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. Oh Musa, you're in a blessed valley right now, طُوَى. And remove your sandals. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him, وَأَنَ اخْتَرْتُكَ, that I've chosen you, فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Listen carefully to what wahi is being sent to you. إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهِ. Verily I am Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا إله, there's no one besides Allah tabarak, فَعَبُدْنِي. And worship me, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. أَمْيَا عَلِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. All perform salah. And establish salah for my remembrance. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, while reflecting, He likened the scene to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam ascending Mount Sina, reciting the Talbiyah and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility. كأني أنظر إلى موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام هابطا من الثنية وله جوار إلى الله بتلبية. Thereafter, arrival in Makkah al-Mukarrama. This is the fourth of Dhul Hijjah. Upon arrival, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم entered Makkah al-Mukarrama from the upper side, known as الثنية العليا, during daylight hours. This location is now known as Mu'abada. Upon sighting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are conflicting reports on whether he raised his hand in dua or not. That time there weren't big walls surrounding the Baytullah. So you could see it from a distance because there were mountains. Jabal Umar now, they were all hotels over there. Jabal Abi Qubais, the king's palace is there. There are different mountains around the area. So they descended and you could see Baytullah. As the tradition supports both opinions, that he, some say he made dua, raised his hand, some say he didn't make dua, one can harmonize the fact of the matter that the traditions which indicate that he raised his hands, it meant that he raised his hands up to his chest, while those that suggest that he refrained from this gesture, it meant that he did not raise his hands as one would in dua for the first, or one in dua for the takbirat ihrima. Didn't raise it like that. So what it means now, those that say he raised his hands, they say he raised it in dua. And those that say he didn't raise his hands, they mean he didn't raise his hands like in salah. So no conflicting views between the two. Entering Masjid al-Haram through Babu al-Salam. There's also Babu al-Salam there. One is at the Masjid al-Nabawi. Then here also you get Babu al-Nabi, you get Babu al-Salam. This is where Jabal Abi Qubais is on that side, where the king's palace is. So entering Masjid al-Haram to Babu al-Salam at mid-morning, at the time of Chast, Duha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam faced the Baytullah and engaged in fervent dua. Thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam set an example by performing tawaf instead of offering the nafil of Tahiyyatul Masjid. This, our honorable and beloved Shaykh Azam Abdul Hamid Sahib, the Barakatuh, said, make it a habit. We hear so many years Tahiyyatul Masjid, have you ever read it? Tahiyyatul Wudu, as if now, okay, we know it. We did it in Maktab, one of those namazes. We'll read now, we'll see. But we know, as I mentioned now, when it comes to our sea, here in Durban is very big. So when really we want to see and start performing it, we have to do it. Hazrat says, now Alhamdulillah, we all like the shortcuts. So what we do in 2 rakat namaz, we wind up all the niyats. Says, okay, that is now for beginners. Now Alhamdulillah, we've gone ahead now. I read 2 rakats. You should be enjoying performing salat to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Entering the masjid, tahiyyatul masjid, greeting to the masjid. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all the ahkam are coming. All the regulations are coming now. Sahaba ikram were accustomed. Every time enter the masjid, 2 rakats, tahiyyatul masjid. Hanafi mazhab is not as stringent as other madhahib. You find our Arab brothers, when they come into the masjid, 2 rakats salah. 2 rakats salah. Every time they enter, tahiyyatul masjid, they have to read. So here Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam set an example by performing tawaf instead of offering the nafil of Tahiyyatul Masjid, so that all those entering the haram will follow suit in his practice. As Tahiyyatul Masjid, the 2 rakats salah offered upon entering the house of Allah was embodied in the act of tawaf. We get the reward of it in the tawaf itself. So tawaf of the Baytullah. Approaching the black stone, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam touched and kissed it. What do you say? Istalamahu wa qabbalahu. He made istalam, he placed his hands upon it and he kissed it. And some accounts even mention him leaning on it. Also to remember that the black stone where it is right now, not to forget our maktab sabak also, that who placed it there also. Remember the stories, we were young. Where now the Quraysh were building Kaabatullah, then they finished it. Now there was a dispute, who'll place back the black stone. So they said, whoever comes tomorrow morning earliest, he'll be the one. And who it was? None other than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the wisdom of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam told him to take a sheet, one clan take a corner of the sheet and put the stone in there and carry it to that corner. Then he lifted it with his own hands and he placed it in there. And now Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam is making istilam. So there are many riwayats also refaced it and he said Bismillah Allahu Akbar, Wallahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Other du'as also when you're entering the Haram Sharif, right? When you enter with the right foot. Now people go for Hajj, you will find the masturat and the ladies, they don't have this habit because they don't go to the masjid. So we have to remind them that now because you're at Haram of Medina, Munawwara, Haram of Makkah, Mukarramah, you got to enter with your right foot. And also read the du'a. When you enter, Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. Allahumma aftah li ababa rahmatik. A'uzu billahi al-azim, wa bi wajhihi al-kareem, wa sultanihi al-qadeem, min ash-shaytani al-rajim. All is a masnoon du'as. And then it's also mentioned about Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, when he used to see the Baytullah, he would say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, fahiyyina rabbana bis salam. He would read that du'a. And also is mentioned that when you see the Baytullah, then you should say, Allahu Akbar. When you see the first time as you're entering, Allahu Akbar, because the person gets awed by the Baytullah, the grandeur, the majesty of the Baytullah. So he says, Allahu Akbar. What does it mean? Allahu Akbar min hadhal bayt. May Allah is still greater than you, Baytullah. Allah is still greater. So he says, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. Wa la ilaha illallah. I don't worship this Baytullah. I worship the Rabb of this Bayt. I worship the Rabb of this Baytullah. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he still keeps to his tawheed. The dua has mentioned also, Allahumma zid hadha al-bayt ta'azima wa tashrifa wa takrima wa habbatan. وزيد من شرفه وكرمه ممن حجه أو اعتمره تعظيمه وتشريفه وتكريمه. These duas also come. But Muhammad رحمه الله, who was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa رحمة الله عليه, he says that these duas, there's no tawqeet of duas. He says there's no specified duas at certain times to be read. He says because if you will do this now, especially for us, we will remember these duas. And now you're panicking, I mustn't forget. Or will hold the phone in their hand, or will take some kitab. So he says, by doing this now, yudhibu birriqqah, that it removes the softness of the heart. Because now your mind isn't focused on your heart, it's focused on the kitab or the dua. Therefore, dua is a condition of the heart. If you remember, alhamdulillah. If you don't remember, don't panic. So many people panic now, I don't know this dua, I will take the kitab. Focus on Allah right now. You're going to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That's why they call it now, إِذَا لَقِيَ الْبَيْتِ. In Arabic they say, إِذَا لَقِيَ. لَقِيَ يَلْقَى means to meet somebody. So in Arabic when they say, you're going to Baytullah, they say, إِذَا لَقِيَ الْبَيْتَ. When you meet the Baytullah, you're going to make mulaqat now. So when you're going mulaqat to somebody, you don't take your kitab with you. You make mulaqat and you make dua for him, whatever dua comes out. So in the same way now, you're going to make mulaqat with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, you're going to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So whatever is a dua of the heart. Some ulama say, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you khatima bil khair. Allah gives mot upon iman. Because dua is accepted at that time. There are riwayat. The duas are accepted. So, you make dua, Allah ta'ala keep you with iman till mot. Then you go to your jannah after that. Some ulama say, make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala makes you mustajabu da'wat. That Allah ta'ala accepts every dua of yours. So you can make both duas also. Duas are accepted at that time. This today I was discussing with the boys also. Sometimes some good things happen in our life. Allah Ta'ala blesses us with something. Honor, izzat, sometime rozi, sometime a good home, sometime a good partner, good children. Is that just by luck? There's no lottery over here. That by luck it happened. We don't realize this. Simple sunnah du'as we're reading are accepted. These are du'as that Allah accepts them. Now you find, I try to explain to the boys also. Right? Some of them get married. So I say, before you got married, you just had one small room. Right? Just yourself, maybe, and your brother sleeping over there. And one common bathroom for 4 or 5 of y'all. And you just got married. You just get married, and already father says, I got you a flat of your own. Right? You got to move out. It didn't happen just by chance. Because of your dua you are making, or your parents' duas. Right? And Hazrat says to the simple dua we make during wudu, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi, wa wassi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi. And we don't register. But it's a powerful dua. Ya Allah, forgive my sins. So Allah will save you from gunas also. And Allah will forgive you. Wa wassi' li fi dari. Ya Allah, give me a vast and a big home that is sufficient for me. I said, see, either you made dua in your wudu, Allah Ta'ala blessed you. Overnight, you just took one one bandi in your nikah, one of Allah Ta'ala's slave, girls Allah open one with your own apartment, your own en suite now. Or either your father's making dua, all these years Allah gave me a big home, finally he got you out. He needed the room. He needed the room. He said, Allah shukr is gone now. With the room as it is, the water and the light bill was coming too high. So his dua got accepted. Wabarikli fi rizqi, Allah give me barakat in my rozi. Father gets you married. And he says, no, carry on, no, what you carry on studying. We sort everything out. Now how that happened, some avenue rozi opened up. We don't realize the sunnah duas are accepted. That's why we have to learn as many duas as we can. Haji Farooq Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, from Sakkar, Pakistan, when he was here in South Africa, when Osman Kadwa Saab, the Marakatu, asked Haji Farooq Saab, Hazrat, we read dua for wearing clothes. Alhamdulillah, الذي كسانيه ورزقنيه من غير حول مني ولا قوة. Gunas are forgiven. Now where is the link? See, the link is Allah is looking for every excuse to forgive you. Gunas are maaf. You have to wear clothes. Allah says, wearing your clothes too, I'll forgive you. Wearing your clothes also, I'll forgive you. A very interesting post also we sent the other day. That how a person wears clothing. Clothing covers his awrah, covers his satar, keeps his shame, sharam and haya. So they say that the clothing of iman is taqwa. The clothing of iman is taqwa. When taqwa is lost, then iman is exposed. And the person can lose his iman. Then he's gone very weak. That's why he has to be with the sadiqeen. كُنُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهِ. By being with the sadiqeen, then you got your iman covered. Then you are safe. فَتَوَفَ بَيْتُ اللَّهِ. So Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, he came and he made istilam. During the first three rounds of tawaf, he engaged in ramal. Now before that, as I mentioned now, throughout the tawaf, he observed ittiba'. Ittiba' from ittaba'ah. Ittiba' means to expose the right shoulder and to cover the left shoulder. How we do the ihram. So you leave it open. That's for the entire seven rounds until salatul tawaf. There you close it. So that you expose in the first three rounds, you make what you call ramal, where a person now takes baby steps. Actually, it's mentioned in kitabs, kal mubariz yatabakhtaru bayna as-saffayn. Mubariz refers to a person who goes for a duel, one-on-one. That who will take, may yubarizuni. Now in those days, when they should go in jihad, then is to step out of the saf and row in front, and they would call out, it will take me on, one-on-one. But you see, the way he used to walk now, like a gangster, is to walk out and with his shoulders moving like a strut. High person, like he bounces and he walks. Who will come? But he says, so Nabi Ali Salatu commanded Sahaba Ikram also, the first three rounds he must walk like that. Now you find most people they jog. Is that a jog? It's more like a strong walk and brisk also. Like who's coming? Like you're taking somebody on. So during the first three rounds of tawaf, he engaged in ramal, that is now the same type of walk. Briskly walking with small steps and shaking his shoulders, like how you shake your shoulders. Before you'd find in the battlefield, they would come out like, what do you call them, like gladiators. Now they come out like that. He's moving himself, like who'll come? So Nabi Ali commanded Sahaba radiallahu anhum to walk like that, because when they came to Makkah Mukarramah, then the mushrikeen were taunting them. And the mushrikeen was telling them that time, أَضَنَاهُمْ حُمَّ يَثْرِبْ, that the fever of Madinah Munawwarah has made them weak. Look how weak Sahaba Ikram are gone. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam told them, make ramal. Expose your right shoulder ittiba, kick out your chest, and walk like a mujahid. So you don't look weak to them. But this command is still established till today also. This is how you will make your ramal. So walk briskly, taking small steps and shaking his shoulder. This is only for the men, not for the ladies. Throughout tawaf, you observe ittiba'ah, draping the upper sheet of ihram over the left shoulder and leaving the right shoulder uncovered. Upon reaching the black stone, al-hajr al-aswad, he pointed to it with a stick. So he had a mihjanihi. Mihjan or urjun refers to a stick he had in his hand. So some riwayat, they have the few rounds he made walking. Then some say he was ala rahilati, he was upon his conveyance. So when he came with the conveyance, so it seems that when he started, he was on foot. So he came, he made istilam. He put his hands on Hajar al-Aswad and he kissed it. Now, some reports when he came around, he was upon his conveyance. So he had a stick in his hand. He had a stick, and with the stick he just touched it. بسم الله الله أكبر ولله الحمد والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم إيمانا بك وتصديقا بكتابك ووفاعا لعهدك واتباعا لسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. These words can be read if you know them. Or basically, بسم الله الله أكبر ولله الحمد والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Then he kissed the stick thereafter. So upon reaching the Hajar al-Aswad, he pointed to it with a stick and kissed the stick. Istilam, that is now extending one's hand towards the Hajar al-Aswad and kissing it when it's not possible to reach the black stone. So you get istilam is when now a person can put his hand on the black stone. If you can't, then you make istiqbal. Istiqbal means that you face the black stone. And the Hanafi mazhab also to stop there, dead stop, and to face the Hajar al-Aswad, and to make istilam, as we call it, this is mustahab to stop. You find other mazahib, they just carry on moving and they raise their hands like that. Alright? It's mustahab to stop there. Although istilam of Rukne Yamani is proven, of Rukne Yamani, that is the cornerstone before Hajar al-Aswad, is also a blessed corner that. The actual kissing of the Yamani corner by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is not authenticated, whether he kissed it or not. In the midst of a large crowd, many of whom had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before, people would point at a different person exclaiming, "There is Muhammad." Because many people, 100,000, some say 114, 124, 130,000. So there were already many first timers also. They didn't know who was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mounted his horse or his conveyance. Some say it was a camel, so that they may identify who he was. So it seems he was on foot. So when they were calling out the wrong person, so hikmat, so he got onto his conveyance so they could see that this is the Nabi of Allah. And thus he performed some rounds of tawaf on foot, and others were riding his mount. It is evident that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed tawaf on his camel, so he said it was a camel, to accommodate to the needs of the people in identifying who he was, and also for those who needed to learn the method and procedures of tawaf. So he got onto his conveyance. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not ever perform tawaf while mounting an animal. This was new also. And the old days, people have been before, they would use those how we have a bier nowadays, right, for janazah. So they have wooden ones. And people will sit in there. And we had the stall, mashallah, not African brothers, and we don't get in their way. They used to just move with those people. Alright, whether the person was making wasiyat or making dua. Because the way they used to move with it, subhanallah, you don't come in the way, they'll knock you down. So it was established from this sunnah of the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from his amal. Hence, this all proves that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did it out of necessity. Imam Muslim and Imam Abu Dawood rahimahumullah have reported that Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu saying, he says, طاف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجة الوداع على راحلته بالبيت وبالصفا والمروة ليراه الناس وليشرف وليسألوه فإن الناس غشوه. So Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم performed tawaf of the Baytullah and Sa'i wa Safa Marwa during the farewell Hajj, so that he was at an elevated position for the masses to see him and be accessible to answer the questions, as he was surrounded by people from all sides. Therefore he got onto his conveyance as a necessity. So only if a person has some udhar, then he is allowed in a wheelchair, right? Otherwise if he's fit, then he must walk. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قدم مكة وهو يشتكي فطاف على راحلته كلما أتى على الركن استلم الركن بمحجن فلما فرغ من طوافه أناخ فصلى ركعتين. So Abdullah bin Abbas, as you mentioned, was a young Sahabi and the first cousin. He was Abbas, Abdullah bin Abbas. Abbas was the uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, father's brother. So he's reporting. And he says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he was not feeling well. He was not feeling well. So why we're highlighting these points? The Hajjis will say, my Hajj got spoiled. I wasn't feeling good. This was paining, that was paining. So Nabi of Allah also. It's all part of the Hajj journey now. It's a jihad for the weak, and the comes in the Hadith Sharif. for the weak ones and for them surat and the ladies, Hajj is a jihad for them. They get that reward. So he was unwell, hence he performed tawaf on his mount. So he gives this reason. So the Jabir bin Abdullah says he mounted his camel because of the crowd around him, they can ask him questions, they can see what he is doing. So Abdullah bin Abbas, maybe he was closer, he was there, he could see. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't feeling too well, therefore he mounted his camel. When he approached the black stone, he would perform istilah by using a stick. Upon completion of tawaf, he dismounted his camel and performed the two units of salah for completion of tawaf. This is salatul tawaf, which a person has, is wajib. It's wajib to read it anywhere in the haram. Although the best place is behind maqam Ibrahim, وَاتَّخِذُ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Allah Ta'ala commanded that take maqam Ibrahim as a musalla, perform salah there. So you find many people, they hold on to it. Even tawaf is moving, they're reading their salah over there. But we know the masala. You can read anywhere in the haram. Even if you didn't get a chance in the haram, you can still read it in your hotel room also. If you have to. You got some taqaza, some emergency, you have to leave, so you can read it in your hotel room. And if it's after Fajr Salah, then you can't read it then. And if it's after Asr Salah, you're making a tawaf, then you can't read it then. So people ask, when do we read it? Now if I made one tawaf after Asr, Asr is very early, awwal waqt. Now I can make 2-3 tawafs, but I got 2 rakats to read. You can make it 2-3. And then, when Maghrib time sets in, then you can read your 6 rakats, 2-2-2. If you made 3 rounds of tawaf, or 3 tawafs you made. Alright, and you can read it also, if you in Haram of Makkah Mukarrama, as soon as Adhan goes for Maghrib Salah, they give some time for the, they read Nafil. They read Nafil, so we can read our Salatul Tawaf that time. You can read it that time, finish it off, then Maghrib Salah will begin thereafter. Completing the Tawaf. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the Tawaf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached the Maqam Ibrahim and recited the following verse, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Take the station of Ibrahim as a permanent place of for prayer. Take that as a place of salah. He then performed 2 rakats in such a way that the Maqam Ibrahim was between him and the Baytullah, the Kaaba Sharif. So both in front of him. He recited Surah Kafirun in the first rakat and Surah Ikhlas in the second rakat. This comes in Abu Dawood Sharif. Thereafter, the Sa'i of Safa and Marwa. After performing Salah at Maqam Ibrahim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Istilam of the Black Stone. This Istilam will be number? How many so far? 8 or 9. Right, you started now, you did 1. So every round you did 1. That's 7. And when you ended, you did 1 also. So how many altogether? The 8 there, this will be the 9th one. Alright. Now for the Haji, for the Mu'tamir making Umrah, difficult to go back now. Because the crowd is moving. They won't let you go back also. So they made it very easy nowadays. If you're making Umrah, if you're going to Safa Marwa, coming up the ramp. As you come up the ramp, you got a full view of Baytullah again. And you're right in line with the black stone. So from there you can make your 90 Istilam also. At that time, remember, to go to Safa and Marwa, they had to exit the Haram completely. It was out of the Haram Sharif. It was a different building altogether. Now, mashallah, they expanded it, and it's like part of the Masjid al-Haram. Mullah Ali Qari, rahmatullah alayhi, was a great muhaddith, commentator of hadith, has stated that after completing 2 rakats of Salatul Tawaf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank Zamzam water. That's why we drink that time. So you make your number 9 istilam, then you drink zamzam. Sprinkled it upon his blessed head, and then perform istilam of the black stone before moving towards Safa. So 2 rakats, make dua, zamzam, istilam, number 9, and then Safa Marwa. So here also zamzam is a place where duas are accepted. This is Jannati Pani. Also is mentioned as we'll go ahead, even in that water of Zamzam is the barakat of the saliva of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He also spat in that water. The Mubarak saliva is there. And here many, many ulama say also that if you want du'as to be accepted, then you must drink so much of Zamzam till you full, right till the top. Meaning your entire system is full of Jannati water. Now you make du'a. Now you make the Allah ticket all the haram from me. Take it out completely. Alright? Now the adab of the water also, you can't just now sprinkle over your whole body inside your haram and everywhere. Masturat also, they get a bit overwhelmed now. Sometimes the parda comes out, the scarf, burqa comes out, then they put on the head, etc. That's all you can do over there. Unless you're missing the water on the floor, there's bi'a adbiyaf, the water also. So you drink it, sprinkle a bit on the head. For the masturat, they've got to be careful they don't expose their satr and awra also. So drink as much as you can. They say a sign of nifaq, a sign of hypocrisy, that a person cannot drink zamzam water. 1-2 glass and it's full. The sign of iman is, you can drink as much till you are completely full with it. Now people say, but you know, drink too much, I need to go to the toilet. Now the hadith sharif says, zamzam, ma'u zamzam lima shuriba lah, that the water of zamzam will be for whatever you drink it for. Whatever your intention is, at the time of drinking zamzam, Allah will give you that. So you already mean, make a niyat of baytul khala, of toilet. So you're going to run. To make dua, Allah give me complete shifa internally, externally. We had so many reports of our own family member also. I remember in the 90s, my own foy and auntie was diagnosed with cancer. 4th stage cancer, very bad. But she had this tamanna desire, take me for Hajj. And she had chemo upon chemo. So virtually you can see from the hospital wheelchair onto the plane. And she went. Alhamdulillah, she did the ilaj, 7 ajwa every morning, and plenty of zamzam and dua. And then I heard thereafter, I was in Darul Uloom that time, alhamdulillah, the auntie is making walking Hajj. Walking Hajj. She returned absolutely healthy and fit. She lived another, I think, 15, 20 years thereafter. Before she went, she was only born. Zamzam and ajwa, 7 ajwa every day, and zamzam. Allah has kept shifa in there. That's why our mashayikh say that when you want something, you don't make dua once. He says you make dua till you get it. Understand? You make dua till you get it. What do you say? I made dua, nothing happening. He says, no, you make dua till Allah Ta'ala gives it to you. Like how the child, he just cried in a split second, tears came out. Sometimes in your life, only I could cry like that. How he just starts crying, laughing, then he wants something, he starts crying all of a sudden. What a ni'mat and a gift to cry like that. So he says, you continue crying, continue making dua, till Allah Ta'ala gives it to you, Allah Ta'ala wards away some calamity, Allah Ta'ala gives you better, Allah stores it for you in akhirat. So at Safa, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the following verse: "Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah." Indeed, Safa and Marwa are among the symbols of Allah. Now we know the barakat of these two mountains. Hazrat Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anha, how she ran over here, and Allah loved her running. Allah said the ummah must run till Qiyamah also. And why Allah loved it so much? Also, she was 100% on the command of Allah, fulfilling the command of Allah. And her honorable, respected husband, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, was fulfilling the command of Allah in the path of Allah. He was making qurbani, she was making qurbani. And Ismail making qurbani, the love of Allah for the deen of Allah. Allah loves this qurbani of this family of three. Allah Ta'ala gave us Baytullah from there. They built it. Allah gave us Zamzam from there. Allah loved the qurbani. Allah gave us Safa Marwa from there. Her qurbani. Allah Ta'ala gave us qurbani also. Sorting animals from that family also. So Allah Ta'ala in Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. O Nabi of Allah, we send wahi to you. أَنِتَّبِعْ from ittiba', that you should follow the deen and the millat and the way of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Hanifa, he cut himself off completely from all the ways of life, only one way, Tawheed oneness of Allah. You follow him. So Nabi of Allah was commanded to follow your great-great-grandfather Ibrahim. And we were commanded, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. You follow me, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are the symbols of Allah, Safa and Marwa. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ نَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. We will begin with what Allah Ta'ala began with. Sahaba ikram waiting now. Which way are we going to move? What Allah Ta'ala began with mentioning in Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala said first, إِنَّ Safa. So we start from Safa. So when you're there also, you'll find the habit there. The digital boards. This is the same ayat that is written over there. This is the second para, the 4th page. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended Safa, gazed upon the Kaabatullah while facing the Qibla. So you go to the top of it, you can see the Kaaba Sharif nowadays also. and glorified the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I glorified Allah. So when he went there, he faced the Baytullah and he said, Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. The third kalima is so powerful, you find it everywhere. Subhanallah somewhere, Alhamdulillah somewhere, Allahu Akbar somewhere. So he said, Allahu Akbar, and he said the following words. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. Wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Basically what? Fourth kalima. Then, La ilaha illallah wahda. Anjaza wa'da. Wa nasara abda. Wa lahazama al-ahzaba wahda. This is sunnah dua for Safa. What does it mean? That none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. He has no partner. To him belongs all sovereignty and praise, and his omnipotence encompasses all things. None is worthy of worship or being worshipped except Allah alone. He fulfilled his promise, anjaza wa'da. Allah fulfilled his promise, and he aided his slave, referring himself, Allah Ta'ala also helped me, and single-handedly defeated the allies. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also recited many of the du'as. Then he started moving towards Marwa at a normal pace until he reached the bottom of the ravine. We have those green lights now. That time there was no green lights. Now they put it for easy. That time it was a mountain. Come down, there's a valley. So she ran in the valley. Then she ran up again. This one point we forgot to finish yesterday was when it comes to tawaf. What du'as to make in tawaf? Right? So it is established that you can read third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And from Rukni Yamani to Hajar al-Aswad, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhab al-nar. So you can read, normal Rabbana. But we know we get distracted very quickly. We just take tasbih, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. So as I mentioned, Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi says, they don't specify any dua for that, whatever comes in the heart. So usually we tell our satis that first round make dua for yourself. Entire first round for your past, the time you baligh, till today, whatever gunas you have done and whatever good you have done, thank Allah for that. And now make dua ahead for yourself, for your spiritual life, for the conditions of my heart, jealousy, greed, pride. Now's the time to make dua for yourself right now. As much as you can, ya Allah, clear, make your disobedience difficult. Make your obedience easy for me. Right? So one is making dua, a positive dua. But there's a saying in Arabic also, تَتَبَيَّنُ الْأَشْيَاءَ بِيَزْدَادِيَهَا. That things become more clear when you mention the opposite. Now we say, Allah give me Jannat al-Firdaus. Illa fill my qabr al-Nur. We're so used to making this dua sometime. But if you say the opposite, Ya Allah save me from a qabr that is full of fire. Now you're talking. When we say, I'm saying negative, opposite dua. Now we used to just ask him, Ya Allah, save me. When I go in there, Ya Allah, there's no snakes waiting for me. There's no scorpions, there's no serpents waiting for me, Ya Allah. Where my mouth will take place, Ya Allah, save me from those avenues 1, 2 and 3. They mentioned the correct avenues. Now we used to make just one dua. Ya Allah, take me in sajda, in baytullah, roza mubarak. Ya Allah, but save me from the places where I'm going every day, every week. Save me from that also, I don't go there anymore. Shouldn't be that I read my Isha Salah and my mouth came now in some court somewhere. Ya Allah, should take me in my Isha Namas. So to make dua, as Hazrat says, you'll make so much dua, you begin to think now, Ya Allah, what more dua must I make? Now you start applying your mind really. That parrot type dua will stop now. Where you're not even thinking what dua you are making. Now you're thinking what dua to make for yourself. Whether your aqal, your mind, your health, halal sustenance. And also, not to forget, Hazrat says, you always is making dua, Ya Allah, give me a pious wife, who make my wife pious. He says, oh Banda, you also make dua for yourself, Ya Allah, make me a pious husband. Make me a good father, a good son, a good ummati, a good slave of yours. Make dua for your qabr also, Ya Allah, my first night in the qabr when I go in there, Ya Allah, I do not have any light over there. Whether it will be small, whether it will be big. Describe the entire, is your qabr now, plan it. Then, your qiyamah, Ya Allah, how will I rise on the day of qiyamah, in which... In whose company, in which jamaat I'll be? With Qarun, Fir'aun, Haman, that love wealth, that they are pride over the degrees and the wealth. Ya Allah, with the ulama Yisu, will I be with them? That give bayans but never made amal. So all these things now we make dua for it. Till finally our jannats. And also make dua to be saved from Jahannam and describe all the stages of Jahannam. If we just go into our dua for ourselves, it'll be more than one round. It'll be more than One round, you say, yeah, I did finish dua for myself yet now. Second round, make dua for our wives and children. Third round, for our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. Fourth round, make dua for our asatiza, our mashayikh. Right, they taught us Quran, taught us maktab, ya Allah. And how much we trouble them also. Ya Allah, forgive us for that. Fifth round, make dua for the ummah. And how our kabir make dua for the ummah. Ya Allah, for Africa, Australia, New Zealand, the Far East, subcontinent, Europe, China, all the continents, they take the name by name by name by name. Then they start focusing, that country, Allah, Sudan, Kashmir, Gaza, Palestine, all those countries, one whole round on that. Ya Allah, shelter them, feed them, clothe them, protect the iman. And then see, the heart will begin to cry. Already five rounds. Right? And then too, you say, time not enough. And then we advise usually the sixth and seventh round make zikr of Allah. Sixth round, like how we make our zikr, la ilaha illallah. Right? In a melodious tone, not too loud, softly. The Thani Rahmatullah Ali says also, he says the proper way to make the zikr is just loud enough that you can hear yourself. So, as Hazrat says also, that we make the loud zikr as a practice. But on our own, we don't make it so loud. That you can make in your bedroom also won't disturb your wife. You make in the Haram Sharif also won't disturb the Musalli next to you. Just enough like how you read your Quran to yourself or your Salah. Just sometimes you want it loud, okay. But just enough to hear, say that's very effective with the heart there. Because you're talking to yourself. La ilaha illallah. Hits the heart. When you listen to yourself now, when you, but too loud, it doesn't hit so hard. But we feel now it's very nice. But really, when it's soft, Udu wa rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya. Allah says, call unto your Rabb with humility and in a soft tone. Don't be too loud. So that's for practice sake now, to catch the hearts. For our own now, we do it softly. So one round, la ilaha illallah. And then to think also, ya Allah, this kalima came here, la ilaha illallah. This da'wah was given in the same Baytullah, the Mataf. Ya ayyuhal nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. This dua, the same words come in Hayat al-Sahaba. Oh, people say, la ilaha illallah, you'll be successful. Ya Allah, this kalima, how much hiding Sahaba Ikam got in the same Mataf. Nabi of Allah may sajda, intestines of camel upon his back. Allah must imagine the most beloved of Allah, the most beloved of postures in sajda, the most beloved place, the mataf, under Baytullah, in front of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah looks at his beloved, Allah tolerates it. For my deen, for my Nabi, you'll have to make qurbani. Ya Allah, I'm enjoying my tawaf. It's not just come to enjoy here, it's come to take something back. Some love and fikr for deen. And the last round, Allah. How we make our zikr Thursday nights, Allah. So who will run off? That my Allah is right here. Jinnah ka sahara. Allah is the support of my life. Allah is the only support I have right now. Everybody have divorced now, finished. Alright, my dunya and my car and my home, everything else is finished now. Allah is only you, only me. And the person making dhikr from his heart. So seven rounds will come out and you say time wasn't enough. That's how we tell the brothers, take the family and go on the first floor. It'll take you 1 hour, no problem. And see how you'll enjoy yourself in your tawaf. Then just today too, I was reading some riwayat. Whether you can speak during tawaf or not. Some riwayat say that Nabi of Allah never spoke during his tawaf. Other sahaba ikram, but many riwayat. We saw sahaba ikram doing this, speaking this, doing that. As Umar radiyallahu anhu spoke to some sahaba ikram during tawaf also. So we tell the sahabis also, now we don't have that amount of isti'adah, the ability to remain in zikr for 1 hour. So the family is there, usually we advise them also that now we are walking together, making tawaf, make some mudhakar of iman also. Once you're there, mudhakar of iman, very easy, like how you go in jamaat. Let's discuss the first point, the qudrat of Allah, Allah's power. Right, the Baytullah, we're speaking about the powerful, Allah made the sky, Allah made the earth, my Allah, made the entire haram, every pillar, Allah designed it. How happy Allah will become. All these imani muzakaras made here. Where Talib took place? At the foot of Mount Safa, house of Arqam. That is where the halqa of Talib was taking place. And now you make muzakar of all these ayat, but in English. So first round you can do all of that. Tell the wife, you also make some muzakara. And then the second round, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Right, the whole life of Nabi alayhi salatu, all his qurbani, mi'raj, etc. Third round on salah. Right, about 6 points. On salah. Salah came down over here. That night of Mi'raj, what happened? How salah was performed over here? Sahaba ikram, Umar accepted Islam. He said, right, we'll march to haram. They dare anyone come and touch us. That was the first time now they went in congregation, performed salah at the Baytullah. See Allah, all this happened right over here. Then ilm and dhikr, then ikram, ikhlas, and moving in the path of Allah. Now we can make tashkil right in the mataf. Now we're moving, as we're moving here, we're walking for Allah, now we'll walk dunya for Allah. Me and the wife will walk together. Wherever the taqaza is, we are moving together. So make all the niyat there and duas there also. Like this, we'll find how a tawaf will enjoy it after that. And it'll be something to remember. So coming to Safa Marwa back again, what duas to make there? Now we know the crowd, you want to finish our Safa Marwa quickly. What dua to make? Now we think, what dua must be? Now, we already made so much duas over there. Now what dua to make? So last year, our brothers came also, alhamdulillah. So Allah Ta'ala put in the heart that now just to focus our du'as. On one safa, we say take one organ of the body or one part of the body. For example, on Mount Safa, make du'a only for the tongue. Allah, how I abuse my tongue. All these years, the layani, futile things, vulgar language, the things that I sang and the things that I've uttered and the speech that I said, the people I hurt. Allah, forgive, recollect. And Allah, please use my tongue for this, for that. Last time making dua for that. Next round for the eyes. Ya Allah, I abuse my eyes. So only for the eye. And I'll make dua till maut, Ya Allah. After my maut also, my eyes only see your tajalli and your nur and the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only for your eyes. The next round for the ears. Ya Allah, all the haram I heard, all the ghibat I heard, and all the taunting and the teasing and the mockery. And all this. Make dua for the ears. Clean out all the organs now. One round make dua. Now what will happen myself also? We'll go, we'll make dua. Now what dua must make now? Now I'm tired. But now you start thinking, Allah's ears, what I didn't use it for? Allah make maaf. Clean it out. So you got the ears, you got the eyes, you got the tongue. Allah then my hands, then the feet, then the brain, then the heart. 7 rounds is finished already. 7 rounds is finished and you won't finish till your dua still. Wife will say quickly now. Say, I still got a lot files to finish off and delete. But you gotta consider them also. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, he reached the bottom of the Ravine, the valley, which is also known as Milain al-Akhdarain, and have two green lights to distinguish its starting and end points. He started running until the end of the Ravine. Thereafter, he resumed a comfortable pace until he reached Marwa. At Marwa, he repeated the same words he recited at Safa. Right? La ilaha illallah, the fourth kalima. The other dua also, and Zawada wa Nasara Abda wa Hazam al-Ahzaba wahda, he read the same dua. At Marwa, he repeated the same words he recited at Safa. Thereafter, he completed the rest of Sa'i while mounting his camel. He also mounted the camel, showing you now that those that have an excuse, they can take the wheelchair. Otherwise, they all have to walk. So they can take the wheelchair. So he mounted his camel due to the massive crowd, so that his loving followers could lay their eyes on his blessed countenance. Finally, he completed the Sa'i at Marwa. Now in between what to read? Safa to Marwa, you know it takes some time. What do you read there now? So we got a third kalima, we got Durood Sharif, we have Istighfar, Nastaghfirullah wa Natubu Ilayh. But as I mentioned, we lose our focus very quickly. We sing that group, Right? Hey, how many came from Kyrgyzstan? How many came from Tajikistan? So we're checking, hey, what kind of topi he's wearing? Nobody wearing topi there now. It's Marwa this. Alright? But you see now, he's wearing what kind of shoes he's wearing. How come he's wearing shoes here in Safa Marwa? And all these things. So we say, carry with you Munajat-e-Maqbool. Carry Munajat-e-Maqbool. Alright? And read it. As you're walking, have the kitab there. We got the English with it also. But read the Arabic. Take you some time. But at least now, these are solid du'as from the Hadith and Quran Sharif. Right? The Hadith Sharif and Quran Sharif. So at least you got your Munajat. They'll keep you focused. Part of Ma'mulat also. So at least now you know, I made some proper du'as, and du'as which came from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There I made my own du'as. Here now, it's all inclusive. So I can read my munajat. Sometimes we have it on the phone also, that we can read it from the phone, but the best is the kitab in the hand, whatever is comfortable. So we got our munajat also. The order to come out of ihram for those who did not bring sacrificial animals. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam was a qarin, doing qiran. So he won't come out of ihram. Those that came without animals, so they'll make tamattu hajj. They make umrah, shave the hair, come out from ihram, and before the 8th, they'll don the ihram again. After completing the sa'i, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam firmly instructed his companions, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were without the sacrificial animals, to come out of the haram by either trimming the hair short or shaving the head. So we go to muhalliqina ru'usakum wa muqassirin. Comes in suratul Fath. Inna fatahna laka fatha mubina. So muhalliqina ru'usakum, shaving the heads, wa muqassirin, or trimming it. So both are permissible. But Nabi of Allah made dua three times for Rahmat, for that Haji, or that Mu'tamir, making Umrah, the one that shaves his head. He made three times dua for me, Allah have mercy upon him. So that's why we say shaving the head is the best. Unless a person has some excuse with his scalp, etc., then with the machine, one length, he can remove it, just trim the hair. Consequently, those companions, without sacrificial animals, followed suit and opened the haram, while those with sacrificial animals remain in the state of ihram. Even from among the noble wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who did not bring the animals followed the instruction and came out of the state of ihram. This ruling aimed to accommodate those without sacrificial animals and to ensure the smooth progression of the Hajj journey. During this event, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed a sentiment of understanding and reassurance to his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He remarked that had he known about the ensuing events, see, these laws now were coming, they were waqi'i. As they were moving on, these laws were coming. So what happened there now? He saw sometime he changed the law. As it came now, he said, those that brought, those that didn't bring animals, there he took his animal with him. Right? Because as yet now, the command did not come down, what will be the difference of taking your animal with and not taking it with. So now, the rule and the regulations came down, so he remarked that had he known about the ensuing events, he would not have brought his animals with him. And I would have come out from ihram. But I didn't know at that time. Only I knew at that time that I would have remained in ihram till the 8th and day after, I wouldn't have brought my animals with him. So those sahaba ikram that didn't bring now, so they felt a bit comfortable. Oh, so Nabi of Allah wasn't aware of it. Now the rules came down. Otherwise he would have been like us. So he gave them some reassurance. I would have performed Umrah instead. So he mentioned, إِنِّي لَوِ اسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِ مَا اسْتَدْبَرْتُ لَمْ أَسْقِ الْهَدْيَ وَلَجَعَلْتُهَا عُمْرَةً فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ لَيْسَ مَعَهُ هَدْيٌ فَلْيُحِلَّ وَلْيَجْعَلْهَا عُمْرَةً. If I knew from before what I am aware now, I would not have brought the sacrificial animals and made this into an Umrah only. And out of Ihram. And they put an Ihram for Hajj just before Hajj. This is Abu Dawood Sharif. This statement aimed to console the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as they would be distraught if they could not follow the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and also to affirm the companions' adherence to his example, ensuring their satisfaction with his guidance. At this point, after concluding Sa'i, between Safa and Marwa, Rasulullah ﷺ underwent the ritual of shaving his head. Following this, he fervently made dua for forgiveness three times. For those who shave their heads, and once for those who trim their hair. This dua was also recited during the Umrah of Hudaybiyah in some ahadith where he trimmed his hair and shaved his hair during Hudaybiyah also. Suraqah bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu queried the following from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, he says, Ali'amina hadha am li abadin. O Nabi of Allah, is this for this year only or forever? This is the practice. So he asked the question. Fashabbaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asabi'ahu wahidatan fil ukhra, wa qal, دخلت العمرة في الحج مرتين لا بل لأبد لأبد. In response, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam illustrated its permanence by interlocking his fingers and declaring twice, Umrah has become a part of Hajj forever. That Allah Ta'ala has opened the door now. In one journey, you can get the barakat of Umrah and Hajj. This is forever for the Ummah. This emphasized that Umrah was now an integral component of Hajj, applicable not just for that year, but for all future pilgrimages. we just do this. On page 28 right now. Like we finish it till page 30, is that right, brothers? 5 to 10 minutes, inshallah. Then the return of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu from Yemen. Rasulullah ﷺ had sent Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu as an ambassador to Yemen to collect taxes that were due. For there are taxes also in Sharia and Islam. Where we are, we take taxes from the people to build roads, bridges, waterworks, etc. But not exorbitant. Right? There's a certain amount that the government can take. This narrative has been recorded with all the details of the book of military expeditions of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had just returned to Makkah Mukarramah, and upon his return, Rasulullah s.a.w. inquired about his state of ihram. Have you also done the ihram or not? Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu responded that he had adopted the same ihram as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In response, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed him to maintain his state of ihram and have the sacrificial animals prepared, highlighting the importance of adhering to the rites of Hajj. Bukhari Sharif. Similarly, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed suit by adopting a similar ihram as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. However, due to the lacking of a sacrificial animal, he didn't have with him an animal with him, Rasulullah s.a.w. instructed him to annul the ihram of Hajj and change it to that of Umrah and to come out of the state of ihram. The Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought the sacrificial animals of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from Yemen. And the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also brought some animals from Medina Munawwara. The Nabi of Allah brought from Medina Sharif, and Ali brought from Yemen also. So there were a total of 100 sacrificial animals, 100 camels. Staying in Makkah al-Mukarramah upon the conclusion of Umrah. So remember, they entered on the 4th of Zulhijjah. So they made the Umrah, Safa, Marwa, everything. So after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had completed Umrah, he stayed at a place called Abtah. Abtah now is between Makkah Mukarramah and Mina. Between Makkah Mukarramah and Mina. As you come to the end of Aziziyah, at one section of it now, there's a place called Abtah. So they encamped over there for 4 days. So remember, they landed on the 4th. 4 days later is the 8th. Dhul-Hijjah, Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the first day of Hajj. So which is on the eastern side of Makkah Mukarramah. During his stay, he continued to shorten his salah, meaning mid-qasr, was a musafir. So he showed now that his firm intention was, Madina Munawwara is my hometown now. When I come back to my old hometown, now I'm a musafir here. So he gave dua to the Ansar of Madina Munawwara. Nabi of Allah, you won't stay here now and leave us. I'm coming back with you. Hazrat Abu Juhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he witnessed Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu calling out the adhan, during which he was turning to his right and left and his fingers were in his ears, while Rasulullah s.a.w. stayed in a red tent, possibly made of leather. So this is Abu Juhayfa. So he saw the tartib of the adhan, so Bilal was doing it. Now the adhan also is a long incident. The Sahaba Ikram made mashwara. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam called council and asked, what you should do now to call people to salah? So they say, we'll have a bell. Oh, we'll do certain, we'll burn a fire, and smoke will come out. People know it's salah time. So he said, go back and think about it. So the next morning, Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abd Rabbi, he came running to Nabi of Allah. Oh, Nabi of Allah, I saw a dream last night. As he's narrating his dream, Umar bin Khattab also came in. What did you see? I saw a malakun nazil bin as-sama. I saw an angel descending from the sky and calling out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah. What do you call the adhan? So Nabi of Allah says that the dream is from Allah, that will be the call for salah. So Umar said, oh, Nabi of Allah, I saw the same dream. Well, Umar, Abdullah beat you to it. So he narrated the dream and that became our adhan thereafter. When you come to Fajarna, as-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, that wasn't there in the beginning. The Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to ascend the roof of one of the homes there, and he saw Nabi alayhi salatu salam at Fajr time, had finished his tahajjud lying down. It's sunnah after tahajjud now. It is sunnah after tahajjud. The Nabi alayhi salatu salam, the Kimsa Abu Talas, rahmatullah alayhi, that after tahajjud, Nabi alayhi salatu salam used to lie down on his right hand side. And he used to place his right palm under his right cheek, but his hand used to be his elbow on the ground. So his head used to be raised off the ground. So lie down like that and speak to the Aisha. And he would tell her, "Ya Humaira, kallimini sa'atan." Oh Humaira, Humaira means my red one, my red doll. The kallimini sa'atan, speak to me a little while. Before I go out to my Sahaba Ikram and sit with them and perform the Fajr Salah. So Zakim Sahib would explain, the Nabi of Allah, where his jet was flying at the Hajjud time, which Asman it was. So, oh my Humaira, speak to me, allow me to land my plane now. If I go on this level to Sahaba Ikram, they won't understand anything. So, help me to at least land on the tarmac now and I go Fajr Namaz thereafter. That's also a Sunnah. So, possibly that morning, Nabi of Allah just dozed off a little bit. Hazrat Bilal was giving the azan, ayya al falah. So when he looked down, he said, Nabi of Allah was asleep. So he said to him, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Oh Nabi of Allah, salah is better than sleep. Nabi of Allah woke up, he was very happy. So oh, Bilal, put this in your azan. Oh Bilal, put this in your azan. So that came from the side of Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Yes, in the Haramain we find there's two azans. Now we call the first one, the Adhan of Tahajjud. Alright? And then the second one for Fajr Salah. So in the Hanafi Mazhab, Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahimullah, he says, yes, there were two Azans. But it wasn't so far apart. He says that the first Muazzin, Abdullah, the Muazzin of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, was a blind Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, in regards to whom Abasa wa Tawalla was revealed. One is Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbi. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Khair, so he used to give the azan sometime. It was a Bilal. So the riwayat says he would give the first azan and hardly come down, and the second muazzin would go up and call the Fajr azan. So it's very close to one another. Alright? That's our explanation in Hanafi Mazhab. So that azan was there to alert those Sahaba Ikram that had performed the Tahajjud and were taking a rest. So that azan was called out to get them up, that soon Fajr time is setting in. So wake up and get ready because they had to go out to relieve themselves. And another reason why they would call out the first azan, for those Sahaba Ikram that were already gone out to relieve themselves, that soon Fajr Salah azan will be called out and the Salah will start soon. So make quick and come back. But now, other mazahib, the scene it was for tahajjud. So they give it exactly 1 hour before Subuh Sadiq. Therefore we have two azans over there. When it comes to Jumu'ah Salah also at that time, there's only one azan there was. The time of Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar bin Khattab, there's only one azan. Our second azan. What do you call our? Second azan was the first azan and the only azan before. And then in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he saw the weakness of the ummah, they're coming late. So introduce now what we call our first azan. So make the people aware that now time has set in, this now will be Jumu'ah, so make sure you hear before the second azan. For this how we have two azans now. So it's also part of the sunnah. But this sahabi Abu Ju'ayfa saw Bilal radiallahu anhu giving azan, turning to the right, turning to the left, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-fala, and his fingers were in his ears. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu came out in front of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with a walking staff in his hand, which resembled a spear, which he planted in the ground ahead of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He put it in front of Nabi after the azan. Thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed the salah. So they used a stick as a sutra, as a barrier for the salah. During his stay in Batha or Abtah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. During this visit, the Sa'd radiallahu anhu expressed his concern, saying, so it is a long riwayat, he said, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas was a great general, the first one to fire an arrow in the path of Allah, first one ever that fired an arrow in the name of Allah, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for him, that Allahumma saddid ya ramyahu wa ajib da'watahu. Oh Allah, when Sa'd is to fire, he must hit bullseye, he must never miss. When he makes dua, ya Allah, accept his dua. So he went to visit him. So he says that, O Nabi of Allah, I am quite sick and I have acquired wealth, yet I have no heirs. So even at that moment now, they're discussing Masla Masail. He says, I have no heirs except for one daughter. May I donate 2/3 of my wealth in charity, 2/3 in charity and leave behind, how much for a? One-third. In response, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him against such a cause of action, that two-thirds is too much to give away. So Sa'd radiallahu anhu persisted, proposing to donate half of his property. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again advised against it. Instead, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counseled him and said, a third, for a third is a significant portion. It is better for you to bequeath to your heirs than to leave them destitute. What he means is better to leave your heirs wealthy, than destitute. So leave the major portion for them. You will be rewarded for what you have spent for Allah's pleasure, even as much as feeding your wife a morsel of food. But that sunnah came there also. It's also sadaqah. So don't give so much. Maximum one-third and leave majority for your heirs. So Shaykh al-Hadith Salam wa Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi expounds on this, asserting that during Rasulullah's stay in Abta, he frequented the Haram Sharif to perform tawaf around the Ka'batullah. Now people ask this question right now. I mean, Aziziyah right now. Right, must I go to Kaaba Sharif every day? What time should I go? Asr to Maghrib, Asr to Isha, Uri Masala, local. So this was a sunnah according to the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, that during those 4 nights, from the 4th to the 8th, Nabi of Allah would go to the Baytullah to make tawaf, according to his opinion. So to perform tawaf around the Ka'batullah, as evidenced by numerous ahadith. This practice is further supported by his visits to Makkah Mukarramah for tawaf during the nights of Mina. Right, they also. So Sa'di asked also, that now in Aziziyah must we go or not? So we say you receive your energy also for the 8th, so don't now overexert yourself. Is that easy to go and then come back also? So it depends now, if you're alone with the family, alright? One, you can go from Asr to Isha, then come back. And then the family won't see Baytullah for 4 or 5 nights. So usually you advise the brothers, do your ma'amulat in the local masjid, after Isha, take your supper, etc. Then take the family and go to Haram Sharif after that. It's cool that time, is that too strenuous? Take a taxi and go, make tawaf, sit down, read your Quran Sharif, then come back after Tahajjud, or after Fajr, or before that. Read your Fajr Salah, then have a good sleep the whole morning, whatever it is. The same tartib for the next couple of nights. So you save your energy also. Also they ask now, what's better during these days? After they made the Umrah, they're making tamattu', do we make Umrah, more Umrahs, or make more tawafs? So most ulama of the opinion, that whilst you're there now, make more tawaf. Make as many tawafs as possible. Because the time it will take you to go to Tan'im, now with the crowd, and you need the energy also, and then to come back, and then to make an Umrah, in that entire time you can make so many tawafs. So better to make tawafs in that time and save your energy. And also you find the riwayat, that a person who makes 50 tawafs, he will come out of his sins like a person who was born on that day, newborn baby. 50 tawafs. The Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahimullah used to make 50 to 70 tawafs, sometime in one day. That time there wasn't a big crowd. So 7 rounds will take about 7 to 10 minutes. Alright, 7 to 10 minutes. And in Madina Munawwara, every salah is to perform in the first saf. Only is to be there. So we try 5 tawaf a day, 8 tawaf a day. So make as much tawaf as possible. Then travelling towards Mina, this is the last chapter, then we finish. Okay. For following this period, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from Mina on the Thursday. It was Thursday the 8th of Zulhijjah. Thursday the 8th of Zulhijjah. Right, our Hajj probably will start on Jumu'ah. Next week, Jumu'ah will be the 8th. So this was one day before. So the 8th of Zulhijjah. For the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they departed to Mina from Abtah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were not in the state of Ihram, made the intention of Ihram for Hajj from Abtah. From there they put on the Ihram. So the Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was sheltering the beloved of Allah with a cloth that was strung on a piece of wood. Upon arrival in Mina, he offered the Zuhur Salah. So they left here after Fajr. This is Surah Zuhur Salah in Mina. That night, which was the night of the 9th now, right? Surah Al-Mursalat was revealed to him. Al-Mursalat yu'urfa fal-asifati asfa wal-nashirati nashara. Which para that is? 29th para, the last surah. So this surah was revealed here in Mina, on the 9th of Zulhijjah, on the night. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, so when you hear the surah in namaz now, let's go back now. 9 Zulhijjah, Mina, Wahi came down, Mursalati Urfa. And you find there, there's a common phrase, وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. It's repeated quite a few times. وَيْلُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. وَيْلُ means destruction. Another tafsir, Jahannam. Be on that day for those who were falsifiers. Those who falsified the message of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, may there be destruction for them on the day of Qiyamah. So you see, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates, while we were in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a cave at Mina, Surah wal Mursalat was revealed, and he recited it, and I heard it directly from his blessed mouth. As soon as he recited its revelation, suddenly a snake sprang at us, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ordered us, kill it. We ran to kill it, but it escaped quickly. Rasulullah ﷺ said, it has escaped your evil, and you too have escaped its evil. Bukhari Sharif. Rasulullah ﷺ and the companions spent the night in Mina. That was the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue the after, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala accept it and make it a Hajj Mabrur and Maqbool for all the Hujjaj, inshallah. And for us also, as we say, don't stop making dua. Allah, you still take us. How Allah will make a plan? Allah will make a plan, inshallah. Never. Don't ever lose hope in the rahmat of Allah. So even if you don't make it, but the heart is still there. Allah Ta'ala accept, inshallah.